it just makes me so angry. He talks specifically that he should have declassified it, but he didn't. So there, I think, is proof, Stephanie Grisham said. I believe also there was a portion of that audio where he says, you know, this is off the record. And I know Donald Trump knows the rules of reporters, and he knows if it needs to be off the record that they can't talk about it. So I think he was covering himself in that regard. Donald Trump is currently the front runner for the 2024 GOP presidential nod, even as he faces a 37-count indictment in connection to the trove of documents found by the FBI at Mar-a-Lago last summer that could put him behind bars for up to 75 years. The 45th president of the United States allegedly kept hundreds of documents stored throughout his Florida resort in places like a ballroom, a bathroom and a shower, an office space, his bedroom and a storage room, according to the Department of Justice. Some of the documents allegedly detailed U.S. weapons programs and defense weaknesses and plans to respond to a foreign attack. And Donald Trump continued to hoard the files even after he was given multiple opportunities to hand them over to the authorities. I think that, you know, I can't stress enough how by being so loose with this stuff, he's potentially putting people in danger, Stephanie Grisham said. And yeah, I had a top security clearance and it's very, very hard to obtain. So it's very important and it's vital to our country and our national security. The only people with these clearances have access to any of these documents. The former president is also facing dozens of felony charges in connection to falsifying business documents and is being investigated by the federal authorities for his role in attempting to overturn the 2020 election result. The British newspaper The Independent has also covered this story. A former top Trump White House spokesperson has said that the former president never showed any sign of understanding the meaning of classification or other methods used to protect national defense secrets during his time in office. Stephanie Grisham served as Donald Trump's press secretary and communications director and was also the top spokesperson and chief of staff to former First Lady Melania Trump. Stephanie Grisham, who has become a fervent critic of her former boss, appeared on MSNBC on Sunday, 2nd of July, to discuss the former president's legal situation following his indictment on federal charges over his alleged unlawful retention of national defense information and obstruction of justice. She said that Donald Trump never exhibited any reverence for how the nation protects important information. Asked about a report indicating that a top Trump campaign aide, Susie Wiles, has been speaking to prosecutors and could be a witness against Donald Trump, Stephanie Grisham said she regularly saw him disregard best practices for handling sensitive documents and classified information, including at Mar-a-Lago, the Palm Beach mansion turned into a private club, where he spent winter weekends as president before making it his primary home post-White House. I watched him show documents to people at Mar-a-Lago on the dining room patio, she said. He has no respect for classified information and never did. The former White House spokesperson may have been referring to a now infamous incident that took place when the late Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe visited Donald Trump at his Florida property. During Shinzo Abe's visit, North Korea made a show of testing a ballistic missile. Mar-a-Lago visitors were then treated to an uncommon sight. A sitting U.S. president and another world leader using the club's open-air patio to review classified intelligence on the missile test. One club member, Jay Weitzman, told the Washington Post at the time that he could see Donald Trump and Shinzo Abe and a group of aides reviewing materials on a computer. someone opened up a laptop and, at the table, a group of Japanese people stood around the Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and President Donald Trump, and they were all looking at the laptop, he said. The website Salon.com has also covered the same story and tells us more. Former White House Communications Director and Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham said on Sunday, 2nd of July, that she witnessed former President Donald Trump show off documents to people at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida. MSNBC host Alex Witt asked Stephanie Grisham about the former president's indictment for his alleged role in mishandling national security documents at his sprawling West Palm Beach residence at Mar-a-Lago. Is it plausible that Donald Trump was showing classified documents to people in private meetings? Alex Witt asked Stephanie Grisham. The short answer is yes, Grisham replied. I watched him show documents to people at Mar-a-Lago on the dining room patio. So he has no respect for classified information, never did. You know, listening to that exchange every time, it just makes me so angry. He talked specifically that he should have declassified it, but he didn't. So there, I think, is proof. I believe also there's a portion of that audio where he says, this is off the record, and I know Donald Trump knows the rules of reporters, and he knows if it needs to be off the record, that they can't talk about it. So I think he was covering himself in that regard, she said. She continued by saying, and you know, I was thinking about this earlier. I just want to say to your viewers, I don't think people understand how hard it is to get your classified permission. I remember when I was going through it to get all of mine. I got held up because of a $13 KinderCare bill that I did not know about. And so I couldn't get it. They go through everything about it. It's very difficult to get a security clearance. And I think people, you know, they miss that in the weeds, obviously. But to be showing it to people who haven't gone through the extreme vetting process that you go through to get a security clearance, it's, you know, it's a disservice to the country. But it also puts people in danger potentially. Alex Witt followed by asking Stephanie Grisham how high her security clearance was during her time working for Donald Trump. And I've got to think, given that you get held up for $13, whatever it was, I mean, that's got to be almost offensive that Donald Trump goes around and shows it very liberally to people, she added.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Thousands of people pack their bags and travel to other countries every year. Some of them do it to relax, others travel to see the world. But in recent times, there has been a new trend for traveling, medical tourism. Cost is one of the influential factors in choosing medical tourism and target destinations. Health tourists usually seek professional treatment in medical tourism destinations such as Iran, where they can find high-quality services at a more affordable cost. Healthcare in Iran has grown rapidly and thrived in the past decades, and the country now boasts hundreds of state-of-the-art hospitals and clinics. Because of the low cost of treatment, high-quality medical services, and famous cosmetic surgeons and doctors, Iran has indeed become a preferred medical tourism destination in recent years. As a flourishing industry with a substantial impact on the healthcare industry and tourism sectors, as well as the overall economic impact, health tourism has in effect become an important national agenda for Iran that focuses on generating revenue and improving the global status of the country.
We are at Mehrad Hospital, one of the prominent medical facilities in Iran's capital, with over 40 years' experience delivering medical services and one of the active players in the field of health tourism. Faced with high healthcare costs at home, tourists from the U.S., Canada, Europe, Russia, and Arab countries in the Persian Gulf and the West Asia region fly to Iran to save up to 90% in treatment costs. While many of them travel to Iran to undergo cosmetic treatments, it is also common to find other patients seeking dental care, fertility treatment, organ transplant, and other medical treatments. To take a closer look at Iran as a health tourism hub, please join us on this edition of Iran Today.
The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development describes medical tourism as the practice of traveling to another country or region to receive medical treatment or procedures. The reasons for medical tourism can vary, but often include seeking lower costs for medical procedures, accessing treatments that are not available in the patient's home country, or looking for more specialized or advanced medical care. There are many other names used to describe medical tourism, such as surgical tourism, health tourism, and medical travel.
First of all, in health tourism, there is a large range of services, such as lifestyle services or prevention services, diagnostic and screening or medical services, and palliative or rehabilitation services. What is more important is medical tourism, which includes a part of diagnostic services as well as medical and palliative or rehabilitation services. In this type of tourism, we have three main sectors. One is the recipient of the service, and the other one is the service provider, and the third person becomes the service facilitator.
Global medical tourism market size was about $110 billion in 2022, and it is forecasted to reach about $250 billion by 2030. This industry's compound annual growth rate will be 10.8% from 2023 to 2030.
We have various treatments such as spinal cord lesions or the treatment of infertility, which is very advanced in Iran, and of course the bone marrow transplantation. But we should not forget beauty services. Iran is highly advanced in that area. We rank first in the region in terms of ophthalmology. We are ahead in all the scientific bases of medicine. We have patients from Europe or America who come to Iran to receive cosmetic treatments and so on.
According to a report released by the National Center of Biotechnology Information, Iran is one of the top 10 countries for medical travel. Iran's Ministry of Health and Medical Education also estimates that they will have around 1 million medical tourists visiting the country by the end of this year. Iran's medical tourism market has also generated an estimated $1.2 billion in revenue so far.
1 million نفر ما در حوزه بستری جای چیز داریم ظرفیت داریم که
In the field of medical tourism, we have both outpatient and inpatient services. Our inpatient capacity is equivalent to 1 million tourists and nearly 3 million outpatients.
Iran offers a wide range of medical services, including cosmetic surgeries, heart surgeries, eye surgeries, infertility treatment, and more. Health tourism in Iran is most famous for cosmetic treatments, including facelifts, nose jobs, abdominoplasty treatments, and transgender surgery, along with others.
We have the best medical professors in internal and general surgery. Our technicians work in advanced laboratories. This shows that if we want to expand our medical tourism industry, all the government organs of the country should join hands. This goal is not only for the medical community. A health tourist, for example, does not come to Iran only for medical purposes. To attract health tourism, the country's transportation system plays a role. The banking system also plays a role. Tourists should not have to worry about carrying cash. In the field of hoteling, accommodation, entertainment, food and etc. should be suitable for the needs of tourists.
Over the years, health tourism in Iran has experienced an influx of international patients for the following reasons. First, Iranian surgeons are ranked among the best in the world. Many are also affiliated with Western surgeon communities, including American and European societies. Second, Iran medical tourists save significantly more on treatment compared to countries like the United Kingdom and the United States. Third, hospitals and health facilities in Iran are equipped with high standards and up-to-date equipment to perform safe and high-quality medical procedures.
Iran can be labeled as a world hub for surgery. The country has plenty of accredited medical universities and has made great progress in the sciences. Its rivals in health tourism, like India, enjoy the use of up-to-date medical equipment but cannot keep up with Iran in terms of the quality of the medical services provided. Tehran is known as the capital of rhinoplasty in the world. For the sake of comparing treatment costs, if you intend to have rhinoplasty in the United States, you'll need to spend at around $4,500. In India, it will approximately cost $2,000, while you can have the same plastic surgery in Iran at less than $1,000.
Iran's inbound health tourism market is constantly expanding, enabling agencies and healthcare providers to grow and expand their services. In fact, Iran has experienced a 15-fold increase in medical tourism over the past 10 years, and the country aims to increase its annual visiting health travelers to 2 million by 2026.
If the Islamic Republic invests well in the field of health services and have long-term and comprehensive plans in this field, the income can replace the oil income. Statistics show that this industry earns $3,000 to $7,000. For instance, if you calculate $7,000, it's equivalent to 100 barrels of oil, and this is while you have not paid for production and you have not exported anything. This industry has a direct impact on the entire country's economy and job creation.
Aside from Europeans and Americans, people who come to Iran for medical care are mostly from neighboring countries like Iraq, Qatar, Turkmenistan, Bahrain, Kuwait, Afghanistan, Azerbaijan, Tajikistan, Saudi Arabia, Oman, and Pakistan. Tehran, Mashhad, and Shiraz are the most popular Iranian destinations for medical travel. The country has around 200 hospitals with a wide range of advanced medical technology, offering high-tech medicine and diverse specializations. Iran is highly advanced in infertility treatment, stem cell therapy, dialysis, heart surgery, and ophthalmology. As a medical tourism destination, it has credibility in various other medical fields as well. Those include, but are not limited to, cancer treatment, pre-IVF consultations and investigations, orthopedics, joint replacement, dental treatments, neurology and neurosurgery, and obesity treatment. Iran is also one of the top destinations for disease diagnosis and comprehensive health checkups.
Iranian scientists progress in parallel with the growth of science worldwide. And because we have the right technology base and foundation, and we have a proper health infrastructure, our scientists grow on a daily basis. We are now progressing very well in the field of regenerative medicine, which is a new branch of medicine in the world. Or in the field of personalized medicine, we have made very good progress.
Medical and surgical facilities available in Iranian hospitals are also highly developed. It is known for its innovative hospital equipment and superior medical engineering. Almost all of the country's private hospitals have high levels of imaging facilities, specialized clinics, 3D ultrasound, MRI, etc. Medical specialists working in the country must pass extensive training and obtain professional certifications from Iran Medical Council and the Ministry of Health before they can be allowed to perform any medical and surgical treatments. Hospitals and clinics are also overseen by the Health Ministry and other related authorities. In addition, Iranians are known for their authentic hospitality and the love of outsiders. This spirit is easily felt in the medical travel industry, to the point that they easily make you feel at home.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media.
Welcome to the news section of the program. I have selected three excerpts from three news websites, starting with eTurbo News. Cancer treatment is a medical tourism opportunity for Iran. Health tourism is a goal for the Iranian province of Golestan, having three nuclear medical facilities and world-class medical specialists. Despite recent sanctions, Iran hosts an average of 1 million medical tourists every year. Medical tourists traveling to Iran are mostly from its neighboring countries, including Iraq and Afghanistan. 200 Iranian hospitals have a license to accept foreign patients for medical tourism. Iran is well known in the world having credible surgeons and physicians, cutting-edge medical technologies, high-tech medicine, and diverse specializations. Medical procedures are affordable by any standard. Iranian nurses and doctors are known for their friendly hospitality and ethics. Let's Visit Persia says, Iran health tourism growing fast. The capital of the Fars province, Shiraz, that is already one of the top tourist destinations in Iran, is focusing on health and medical tourism to boost its economic prospects. The deputy head of Shiraz University of Medical Sciences mentioned that the majority of foreign tourists visit Shiraz for eye and plastic surgeries, and the hair transplant is another popular purpose for them. Shiraz Health City soon will be established in the western part of the city, Shiraz MP Ali Akbari said. The visa waiver programs for citizens of Oman is another step to boost the Iran medical tourism sector in particular. The Iran Health Tourism Council says 105 hospitals have been licensed to establish an international patient department and increase services to foreign tourists. According to Tehran Times, developing health tourism in Uramanat leads to economic growth, experts say. Economic and social development of the UNESCO-designated Uramanat, a city in Iran's Kurdistan province, can be achieved through strengthening health tourism in the western Iranian region, a tourism expert has said. Uramanat draws significant numbers of medical tourists and sightseers from Iraq's Kurdistan region so that the development of health tourism in Uramanat can contribute significantly to its economic and social development. Uramanat is famous for its rare medicinal plants, vegetation, breeding of leeches and scorpions, infrastructure for health tourism, and its traditional medicine, she explained.
stretched on the slopes of Sarv-Abad County at the heart of the Zagros Mountains and shared between the provinces of Kurdistan and Kermanshah in western Iran, the Uramanat cultural landscape embraces hundreds of villages, 106,000 hectares of land, and 303,000 hectares of surrounding properties.
My name is Aya Al-Nuami and I come from Iraq. I have systemic lupus. This disease put pressure on my kidneys. My body started to feel heavy. I came to Iran to receive the proper treatment and thanks to the efforts of the doctors, I've gotten better. I got the results and my condition is very good. Iran is famous for accurate and fast treatment. Iran is the best. With the help of the doctors, I got better. Their behavior was very good. The sole of one of my feet started to swell. It gradually came higher and reached my knee, and after that it pressed on my chest and hurt. I advise patients to come to Iran from anywhere in the world for treatment.
From among prestigious destinations for medical travel, picking Iran might seem odd, but it's completely the opposite of that.
Definitely, when political tensions arise between two countries, there will be disruptions in the issue of visas and the entry of dear patients into one another's countries. Of course, until now, because these interactions and visits are for the purpose of treatment and have nothing to do with political discussions, they've been done, and so far we have not had any problems so far. With regard to the letters that are given to the patients from medical centers and hospitals, getting visa has become very easy for them. The visas are medical visa and not a tourist visa.
When medical tourists from other countries come to our country, because the services they get are airport to airport, therefore the representatives of the medical centers here always accompany the tourists, and even after their treatments are done and they return to their own countries, our service providers do follow-up checks. As a result, the medical tourists feel that Iran's health system cares a lot for them, and this makes them very satisfied, and therefore they immediately introduce Iran to their relatives and friends who are in need of medical treatments.
While politics and the media in the West have fueled fear and relayed a very skewed image of Iran and its people, Iran is a country of pleasant surprises and beauties and has some of the most welcoming people in the world.
Well, this can be reviewed from two aspects. From the aspect of medical tourists who visit Iran, in fact, they have some concerns, which is understandable. But when they arrive in Iran after a short time, when they see the hospitality of the Iranians from the very beginning and then the attention that our doctors pay to them, all these give them composure. All patients who return to their own countries admit that Iran is really a very safe place and the right choice for treatment. The Honorable Ministry of Foreign Affairs provide them with T visa, which is the treatment visa that the patient can get very easily in less than 48 hours. We do correspondence with our own agencies in their own countries. They have easy access to visas. In the patient's own country, he can get a visa and travel to Iran. We have airport transfer services for them here. We have translation services for them where a translator is at the patient's disposal 24 hours a day, and the patient will never feel alienated or lonely.
Moreover, cutting-edge medical technologies, high-tech medicine and diverse specializations, credible doctors and a trusted health system, along with super affordable procedures, has gotten Iran on the global medical travel map as one of the favorite destinations these days. A search in historical documents shows that the age of medical tourism is as old as the medical treatment itself. People of civilized societies like Sumer, Babylon, Rome, Greece, and Iran knew about the healing advantages of natural mineral hot springs. Traveling to locations with these springs was the beginning of medical tourism. In light of that, Iran has long been a major center for the development of medical knowledge, so that just a few traditional medical schools in the Asian world have been as comprehensive as Iranian medical schools. Hippocrates, the father of Greek medical science, admits how some of his medical theoretical foundations have been adapted from the ancient Iranians. Long history and advanced civilization together with a hunger for immortality paved the way for medical knowledge to flourish in Iran. Asian medical schools founded in Iran, such as Jondi Shapur, have been teaching medicine for thousands of years. And physicians such as Avicenna have been in the vanguards of medical development through centuries.
We have very generously provided all our experiences to other countries. Our colleagues at Mashhad University of Medical Sciences trained a number of Afghan doctors for kidney transplants, and today they're doing it in Afghanistan's Herat.
So Iran, with its various natural resources, is also an attractive destination for health and wellness services, such as spa therapy, preventative care, rehabilitation, and the treatment of chronic diseases. There are about 300 mineral-rich springs across the nation with the potential to be used as health towns, water therapy centers, and rehab facilities, etc.
Rigid laws and regulations in the Iranian medical system support the health and safety of the healthcare environments in the country. Hospitals that work in the international health market are required to obtain the necessary licenses from the Ministry of Health under the International Patient Department that require hospitals to comply with international standards for the provision of health services to medical tourists. Consistently, full consultation and a comprehensive follow-up care, also a hygienic environment, and the clear up-to-par outcomes of medical practices are the least that international patients can expect from Iranian medical facilities.
Iran is a safe country for foreign travelers. This is undeniable. Statistics show this. This is an important point, especially in order for the patient to feel at ease and to travel to Iran with peace of mind and undergo the treatment. A treatment contract is signed with them at the very beginning, and thanks to these measures, tourists make sure that in Iran everything is organized and systematic. I mean, services are defined, costs are known, and everything is accounted for. And therefore, the health tourists will only be concerned with their treatments and nothing else.
Official records have shown that the medical tourism in Iran is growing 15% annually on average. It is estimated to be worth more than $2 billion in 2023 and more than $5 billion in 2030. So, Iran has become one of the most popular destinations for a variety of medical treatments. Because even though Iran is a developing country, it provides immediate world-class standard medical services to medical travelers. Because cosmetic surgeries happen to be the most popular reason that brings many medical tourists to the country, and Iran has some of the most experienced cosmetic surgeons in the world. At the end of the 20th century, an 8-year war between Iraq and Iran took place, which left 1 million people killed and several million wounded. This war caused a severe increase in the number of people in need of reconstructive surgical plastic surgeries, and this became a path to improve the cosmetic surgery science and an increment in Iranian plastic surgeons' experiences. Since then, Dr. Cyrus Osanlu, known as the father of plastic surgery in Iran, taught a new generation of plastic surgeons. Many of his students today are among the most famous plastic surgeons in the world. Additionally, figures show that people can save a considerable amount of money by getting their treatment in Iran. For example, Turkey, Iran's primary competitor in the West Asia region, is approximately 50% more expensive, while the South American and other medical tourism hubs weigh in at 50 to 100% more than Iran. That said, some patients just want to kill two birds with one stone with the help of medical tourism. In Iran, they could have their medical treatment and have a great vacation as well.
Given the fact that part of the treatment that tourists receive should involve psychological aspects, so we focus on ensuring that the patient is provided in this area, and therefore we plan tours for them within the city. These tours are suitable for their treatment, visiting historical places and shrines. This has been very useful for their treatment.
Iran, with a history of more than 5,000 years, is home to some of the greatest Asian attractions and traditions that includes 23 UNESCO World Heritage Sites and dazzling natural landscapes all over the country.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Please do tune in same time next week and each week after. Don't forget to leave your comments and topic requests. Till next time, take care.
Option for today and a better tomorrow. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Path towards enlightenment.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam and welcome to our latest episode of Path Towards Enlightenment, which is an endeavor to make you and us familiar with an easy and fluent explanation of God's final scripture to all mankind, the Noble Quran, that was revealed to the last and greatest of all messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. As you know, we have taken up the explanation of Surah Mulk, the number 67, in the serial order of compilation of the Noble Quran. Revealed in Mecca, it has 30 ayahs and opens with the sentence, "Blessed is he in whose hands is all sovereignty," thus deriving its name from divine sovereignty or mulk in Arabic. It is also called blessed from the opening word tabarak. This surah challenges the disbelievers with declaration of God's infinite power over them and over everything else in the world, in afterlife, and in the universe, by focusing on the marvelous and orderly system of creation. It also describes the regret the disbelievers will express on the day of resurrection. It is highly recommended to recite Surah Mulk every night. We start from where we left you last week, and here is Ayah 20.
أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٌ لَكُمْ يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ الرَّحْمَنِ إِنِ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورٍ.
Who is it that is your host, who may help you, besides the All-Beneficent? The faithless only dwell in delusion. Edition of Path Towards Enlightenment, we said the mercy of the all-wise Creator is fully evident in all and everything in the universe. The growth of plants and the bearing of fruits every year
as well as the flying of birds for long distances without falling or collision are all signs of Allah's power and greatness, including the orderly functioning of our own bodies. The ayah which we recited to you now refers to the fact that besides the Almighty Creator, there is none who is the provider and helper of all creatures, including mankind. It means it is nothing but a delusion by the disbelievers to think they can do whatever they like or save themselves from afflictions, which, if averted, are only by the grace of God, without which nothing can survive. In other words, no amount of wealth or military and political power of the rulers can save them from affliction in the world without the will of the all-merciful God, whose doors of forgiveness are always open, and who has decreed punishment only for those who ignored realities and die in the state of disbelief, or for those who are unrepentant of their sins. This ayah teaches us that, number one, those who are proud of their material and political power are living in a state of delusion and cannot avert the fate reserved for them because of their disbelief in God and indulgence in sins. And number two, no power can stand against the will of the Almighty Creator. Listen to ayah 21 of Surah Mulk.
أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَهُ بَلْ لَجُّوا فِي عُتُوٍّ وَنُفُورٍ.
Who is it that may provide for you if he withholds his provision? Rather they persist in defiance and aversion. This ayah further explains the inability of human beings in securing sustenance and livelihood. It means to say that it is only God's mercy in sending down rains to make vegetation flourish and water accumulate in rivers, lakes, and ponds for animals and mankind that guarantees life and survival. But the disbelievers persist in their denial of divine grace and power. This ayah teaches us the following points. Number one, it is the Almighty Creator who guarantees the means of sustenance and livelihood, and thus any disobedience will eventually lead to our destruction. And number two, it is only the acknowledgement of the all-encompassing mercy and infinite power of God that make people obedient to divine commandments. We listen to ayah 22 of the same surah.
أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ أَهْدَى أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ.
Is he who walks prone on his face better guided, or he who walks upright on a straight path? This ayah presents an excellent comparison between the faithful and the faithless. One walks upright on a straight path, while the other one walks as if he was crawling. A glance at history reveals that the faithful stay firmly in hardships and never abandon their belief, while the faithless, who consider death as the end of everything, indulge in sins and oppression of others on the assumption that there is no accountability for their crimes against humanity. From this ayah, we learn that, number one, denial of truth leads to selfishness, egoism, sins, and oppression of others. And number two, for believers, the path of religion is straight and clear without any pitfalls, which means they walk upright in contrast to the stumbling of disbelievers. In conclusion of this Friday's Path Towards Enlightenment, here are ayahs 23 and 24 of Surah Mulk.
قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ
Say, it is He who created you and made for you hearing, eyesight and hearts. Little do you think. Say, it is He who created you on the earth, and toward Him you will be mustered. These ayahs are a warning to the disbelievers, and the purpose is to open their eyes to the realities of creation and the divine favors evident in their own selves, such as the benefits of hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, walking, talking, breathing, and the regular beating of hearts that ensure life. These bounties inspire the faithful to express their gratitude to God Almighty. But the disbelievers and deniers are always thankless. We should realize that we have been created from the soil of the earth, and the death marks our return to the soil. But this is not the end of everything, since the Almighty Creator has the power to resurrect and gather all of us in His presence for the final judgment. These ayahs teach us that, number one, Allah has granted the necessary means of cognition of facts and realities to mankind through rational argumentation. Number two, gratitude toward each bounty differs, and the least form of thanksgiving is verbal expression of gratitude. And number three, there is no question of doubting Allah's power to revive the dead, since it is He who, in the first place, created us from nothing and provided us with all amenities.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered on December 17, 2008 by Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, on the occasion of Eid al-Ghadir. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. First of all, I would like to congratulate Eid al-Ghadir on you, dear people, all the faithful people of our country, and the entire world of Islam. Eid al-Ghadir is considered to be a major part of the Shia's historical identity. Shia men and women have, for consecutive years and centuries, preserved their identity through the remembrance of this event. I would also like to welcome you, dear brothers and sisters, especially those who have come from faraway cities and the esteemed families of our martyrs. Reflecting on Ghadir event is one of the issues that can be of great help to our Islamic society, our people, and our country today. That is because reflecting on Ghadir will help them stay on the right path. There are two or three points that I would like to mention in regard to Ghadir.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The event itself is one of the points that I would like to discuss. The world of Islam, which had grown relatively vast, was witness to a very important event toward the end of Holy Prophet's life. The commander of the faithful was declared to be the successor of the Holy Prophet of Islam. Ghadir is not simply an event narrated by Shias alone. Many Sunni luminaries and hadith scholars or muhaddisin have also talked about this event. How the event should be interpreted is debated among Muslims. However, all Muslims are confident about the truth of this event. The fact that Prophet Muhammad assigned Imam Ali as his successor at the end of his life, about 7 days before his demise, bears testimony to the importance of government, politics, and religious leadership, or wilaya, from an Islamic viewpoint. The emphasis that our magnanimous Imam, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, and many other prominent religious scholars have placed on the unity between religion and politics is in fact rooted in Islamic teachings, especially the great lesson that Ghadir taught us. This shows the importance of the issue. All the people who interpret Ghadir in this way, that is, all the Shias and even many non-Shia Muslims who have a similar interpretation, must constantly pay attention to the fact that the issue of government is a critical issue and that it is a high priority in Islam.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. Thank you. IRIB English Radio.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Aruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
As the Israeli regime's biggest attack on Jenin refugee camp in the West Bank fails to weaken the Palestinian resistance factions, solidarity gatherings continue to take place in Lebanon and other parts of the world. Hamas representative in Lebanon has told Press TV that the Palestinian people have taken the decision to resist until the occupied territories are liberated and there is no turning back.
The Palestinian people have made up their mind that they will face the Israeli military machine with all courage and that they will continue until they remove the occupation, not only from the West Bank, but from all of Palestine. What is happening today in Jenin is a smaller version of what is happening on all of Palestine. If this superior military machine of the Israelis is incapable of facing a small refugee camp, then how would it face Gaza or the entire West Bank?
Lebanese people who have gathered in several parts across the country in a show of solidarity with the Palestinians say they have also lived through decades of Israeli aggressions against Lebanon, and they believe that resistance is the sole way to end the occupation, as was the case in Lebanon.
There is no other way to face the Israeli occupation than to continue to resist. The Palestinian people tried all means in order to liberate their land. It was a fiasco. So we need now to consolidate the resistance approach and to have a wider solidarity with this resistance, Palestinian resistance, in the occupied territory.
With the Israeli aggression against the Palestinian, they are trying to do that aggression over and over again. And the Palestinian people, starting from Jenin, trying to liberate first Jenin, but I think it will spread all over Palestine and probably it will go way abroad.
Jenin camp reflects the real bloody face of the Israeli occupation, the loss of innocent lives, the destruction of homes, the displacement of big families. They are the realities that the Israeli occupation can't ignore anymore. Today we are gathering together in a public space to send a powerful message for the Palestinian people and for the resistance that we are showing our unity and we are showing our position against the violence, injustice, and the silence in the world.
As you enter any refugee camp in Lebanon, you are greeted with posters for martyrs. And refugees there express their unwavering support for resistance fighters inside Palestine.
We are not in solidarity with Jenin. We are one with Jenin. We, the Palestinians in the diaspora and inside Palestine, are one entity, and what is happening inside Jenin is a step towards the liberation of Palestine and a step towards our return to Palestine. What we saw in Jenin gives us hope that liberation is near.
We've become used to their crimes. They bargained that the old generation is gone, but they were stunned how the new generation is even more steadfast and courageous and ready to face them.
After 2 days of Israeli attacks on Jenin, at least 12 Palestinians were killed and dozens more were injured.
The United Nations says it is alarmed at the scale of Israel's assault on Jenin, yet people of Lebanon and Palestine who have witnessed firsthand decades of Israeli atrocities say there is nothing alarming about the aggression. However, they all have a collective conviction that the resistance will turn victorious. Mariam Saleh, Beirut.
Alpha.
out of the classrooms and under the streets. Hundreds of thousands of school teachers here and across England on strike for 48 hours this week in what's become a battle for dignity and better wages.
We want to be with our children. We really do. You know, it's coming towards the end of term. We want to enjoy every day with them. But at the same time, we recognise that the fight for children's future has to involve strike action because this government doesn't listen.
There are others who are listening, parents and students.
These strikes have to happen. Obviously, they're impacting in the short term, but with extra pay, teachers will be more motivated and they can help in the long run rather than them withering out.
And withering out they are. Underfunded and overworked, the teachers are not just striking, they're leaving the profession. Gillian Keegan, who runs the Department of Education, says the government has made a fair and reasonable pay offer to teachers. Yet her department